Now I want to say a word about what happens in the social sphere as a result of this attitude of the Indians. I've tried to present the wonderful positive side, and now comes what from our standpoint is the negative side of this. Since the whole affair is impersonal and as is, man has no power to change things. Man can simply submit, and this goes also with the biblical tradition, to the universal will. The caste system, which to us is a very, very horrible thing, and socially regarded from our standpoint it is based on the idea that society carries its own laws within itself, and these are the laws of the universe. The laws of ancient Indian life could not be changed by human beings. It was thought that they were delivered, like the laws of God to Moses, delivered to sages of the ancient past and handed on to man as fixed laws to be followed. Therefore, when a person grows up, his function is to perform the duties of his society as he has received the instruction. In the Indian classical point of view, there were four castes. The priestly caste knew the laws of the universe and of action and taught them. The governing caste, so-called Kshatriya, executed the laws without fail and without modification. The wealthy caste, the moneyed caste, supported the clergy and the government, and the workers did their work. Now, the notion was that a person was born right in the caste to which he was properly ready. The idea of reincarnation is absolutely basic to this point of view. The notion is that everybody is learning in the course of his life a lesson. And when he has learned that lesson, he dies. And then he is born again in the next grade, you might say. I think of these four castes as the freshman, sophomore, junior, and senior years. A freshman, no matter how good a freshman he is, cannot become a junior that year. He has to die. He has to have a holiday. And so here also, between lives there are holidays. One dies. And if you've lived a good life, let's say if you've learned your lesson, you can go to a summer resort for your holiday. You can go to a heaven. If you haven't learned your lesson, you go to a summer school and thuggish, brutal professors jam it into you. This is hell. And so between lifetimes, you go either to a heaven for a holiday or to a hell to learn the lessons you didn't learn, and then you come back. A person who is performing the duties of his life perfectly is said to be something. He is. A person who doesn't perform his duties of caste, is nothing. The word for to be is sat. The word not to be is asat. You know what sati is, where the wife throws herself on her husband's funeral pyre when he dies. She is a wife all the way. She is something. That's this idea. By obeying the social law, you become something. The sun, when it rises, obeys the law, its law. The moon, the lions, the mice. So everybody, in terms of his social duty, obeys his law. Now, when I first went to India, I was utterly stunned by the poverty, the squalor, the misery of those people, and it is something that our word misery doesn't cover. I don't care where you look in this country or in Europe, you won't see what you see every day on the streets in India. And yet, out of this real, I would say, human horror, there comes a strange spirit of bliss, of peace. Of course, from our standpoint, it amounts to losing your whole initiative, losing all sense of doing something for yourself. But there it is, and it has a value. This is the beauty of the Indian system, that values arise from life on all its levels. The person can't blame anyone else for his condition because it's the result of his earlier lives. He can blame only himself, is the Indian standpoint.